You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
There are so many beautiful layers in the Word. Amen. So many beautiful layers that it would take a lifetime to get to all of them. Layers upon layers. If you read your Bible and you focus on the heart, you will see the heart. If you read the Bible and you focus on the eyes, you will see the eyes. If you read the Bible and you focus on worship, you'll see worship. And if you focus on the spirit, you'll see spirit. But for some reason, while we were at prayer on Tuesday night prayer at 7 o'clock, everybody, we were praying and I was sitting here and suddenly the word hands jumped out when I was reading my Bible. And that's so profound because hands are mentioned 1,433 times in the Bible. Hands. Look at your hands this morning. In church, we refer to hands. We often say, God's hand is upon you. We say, God's hand is at work. At prayer line, we say, let me lay my hands on you and pray for you. Amen. One of the most beautiful things we do in church is we lift up holy hands. We say, lift up holy hands and let's worship Jesus this morning. Amen. When we lift up holy hands in worship, we're surrendering. We're surrendering our hearts, our thoughts, our moments. We're not thinking about lunch or Kentucky. Amen. We are thinking about Jesus in that moment. We are thinking about the goodness He has shown in our lives. We are thinking about how honored we are to have a God that loves us. But one of my husband's favorites, let's give the Lord a hand. How many times does he say, let's give the Lord a hand? And we don't often think about what he's saying, but he's saying, let's honor Jesus in this moment. Let's take a moment to reverence Jesus. Let's take a moment to focus on him. Let's take a moment to do something that just honors the name of Jesus. Amen? Are you with me this morning, church? So the raised hands of Moses was used by God to part the Red Sea. God said to Moses, lift up your hand. And God's power moved through that moment and the sea opened up. Later on, Moses made a big mistake, and when Jesus said to him, speak to the rock, he hit the rock. So he used his hands in a way that God had not intended him to use it in that moment. Are you with me? And the raised hands of Cain killed Abel when he was in anger. And a soldier with evil hands burnt out Samson's eyes. But the hands of Jesus that were full of love put eyes back into a man's sockets. Can you see the importance of hands? David was playing the harp when Saul threw him with a spear. But when David took a sling and he slung it at Goliath, he killed Goliath the giant and he saved a nation. You see, hands show meaning. They show feeling. As if even as I'm speaking to you, it shows ideas, it shows intention. They emphasize specific points. If I say, listen, I'm going to draw your attention to the next moment. Amen. What do teachers do in the class? Listen. Amen. If I do this, I'm aggressive. If I do this, I'm gentle. Amen. Hands, gestures. An open hand is honesty. Hands that are clasped together are nervous. What do you do when you're nervous? Some of us even bite our fingernails when we're nervous. Amen. Who does that, young people? I hope you don't. Because today I'm here even to tell the young people, do not be afraid. I have such a message for you today. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. God's hand is on your tomorrow. Amen. Hallelujah. God's hand is on your tomorrow. Can I just go on and speak to the young people for one moment? Don't be afraid of going back to school. Don't be afraid of going back to university. You have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you. And His hand is with you and on you and on your ways and what you are going to do this year. Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not be afraid of the future. I've seen young people are so afraid of the future. Amen. But no pair of hands cared more, were used with more intention than the hands of our Jesus Christ. Can I say that this morning? You see, Jesus' hands were formed while he was still in his mother's belly. And I want to read you a statement that Charles Spurgeon said, one of my faves, where he explained what happened in the womb of Mary. He said, those little hands would one day grasp the scepter of the universal empire. Those little arms would one day grapple with the monster called death. and destroy it. He said those little feet would tread on the neck of the serpent and crush it. He said that little tongue, which had not yet even learned to articulate a word, would one day pour out eloquent words to fertilize minds and speak literature that would teach the world. Later again, he says that tongue will pronounce judgment from heaven on the destinies of all mankind. Jesus was born in the womb of Mary, and after he began his public ministry, his hands were used to heal people. I'm not telling you anything new this morning. He didn't think twice to touch a poor leper where everyone else was ostracizing him. Nobody touched a leper. A leper was unclean. Everybody ran away from leprosy, but Jesus ran towards leprosy and touched it because it didn't freak him out that the man was sick. He laid his hands on a crippled woman and she straightened out. He smeared mud on a blind man's eyes and eyeballs came. He touched a deaf and dumb man's tongue and he started speaking. He reattached the ear of the soldier coming to arrest him with these hands that were born for a destiny and a purpose. Have you allowed the hands of Jesus to touch you? Have you allowed the hands of Jesus to touch you, not physically, but emotionally? Have you allowed Jesus to come and restore your family? Because Jesus is not embarrassed about your situation. Can I say that again? Jesus is not embarrassed by your situation. It doesn't matter what you are facing. He's ready to support you. Let your mistakes and your successes remind you that there will never be a day that you won't need the power and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to keep you. Amen? Let your strengths and your weaknesses remind you that you need the hand of God to function in this world we live in. Amen? You see, Jesus used his hands to serve people out of compassion. Do you use your hands to serve people out of compassion? He put out his hand to save Peter when he was drowning. How many times did hands come up in the Bible? So many. I could keep you here till next week. So he lifted the demon-possessed man after setting him free. And as I'm speaking, all the scripture references are going on the screen, amen? Just to show you what I'm saying is from his word, amen? He picked up Peter's mother-in-law by the hand and her fever went. How many evenings, mommies and daddies, have you not cried out for the hand of God for your children? I remember many evenings when my children were sick, where I would lay my hands on my kids, where my husband would lay his hands on the kids and we would pray. And we'd say, Jesus, have mercy on my child, because mercy on my child is mercy for me. The hand of God. The hand of God. He took a little girl's hand and brought her back to life. Our Jesus, the hand that was born with a destiny. He washed his disciples' feet. He went from raising a young girl from death to washing feet. And nothing was too much for him because the hands of Jesus were born to serve. He blessed the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and he broke it and he fed thousands of people. The hands of Jesus. Isn't that profound? Do you use your hands to serve and bless those around you? Because we say we want to be like Jesus. Guess what? Jesus used his hands. Jesus used his hands. You see, the world doesn't read the Bible. The world reads Christians. As you go back to work this week, as you go back to school this week, know that those that don't know Jesus need the hand of Jesus to walk this earth. But they won't read the Bible necessarily, but they'll read you. Give them the right picture of the hands of Jesus. The hands of Jesus are kind and compassionate. The hands of Jesus do not shun someone. They don't come in anger. The hands of Jesus are filled with love. You had to love to touch a leper. You had to love to raise a little girl from death. You had to love to wash disciples' dirty feet. Guys, they didn't have closed shoes. They had sandals. Can you imagine what their feet looked like after a whole day? Walking in sand. But that did not put Jesus off. He took their feet in his hands and he washed them, because nothing was too much for Jesus. You see, Jesus gave bread and wine at the Last Supper as a gift of himself. We had communion this morning. As a gift of himself. And the next day, those holy hands carried a rough piece of wood to Calvary. The hands of Jesus. The hands of Jesus were pierced with splinters as he walked the road to Golgotha. And later on, they were pierced with nails. The hands of Jesus. The hands chosen to change the world tore open as the cross was lowered in the ground. The hands of Jesus. Are you with me this morning, church? We sang this morning, "Not for a moment was I forsaken." The hands of Jesus never forsook. The hands of Jesus always were open to whatever came his way. By this time, his hands were scarred. And this scar became a means of identification. Thomas says, "If I could only put my hands in the holes of his hands and in his side, I will believe." Are your hands willing to surrender to the cross? For 2025, I want to tell you, young people, we are not going in as victims. We are not going in as those that don't know what the future holds. You walk into 2025 with your head held high, knowing that those scarred hands are right there with you to give you the strength to face any challenge that any task throws at you. Amen? Amen? You were born with a destiny and a purpose. Our young people are forgetting what they were born for. They were born to make a difference. God is not finished with us. We just step one. We want to lift our kids on our shoulders and take them further. Amen. They must do more for Jesus than what we could ever do. Amen. So in Isaiah 49 verse 16, it says, God speaks to his people with an image of hands. With an image of hands. He says, "Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands." Behold, I have engraved you in the palm of my hands, and your walls are continually before me. Do you see that picture, church? I'm going to speak about that picture this morning. Jesus sends a strong message. He says, "You are engraved in the palms of my hands, and your walls are continually before me." What does he mean? He says you are permanently cut into, inscribed, and embalmed in the palms of my hands. This cannot be undone. God does not erase you when you make a mistake. Amen. How many times have I gone to the shop and I've written bread and milk and something else and then I can't see that last thing? Amen. I don't know if you've ever done it, especially before phones. We did it often. Amen. And I get there and I don't know what was that third thing I had to remember at the spa. But God does not do that. It cannot be undone. You are not written in invisible ink or with a pencil that can be erased. You see, Psalm 49 verse 15 says, "Can a mother forget her child?" He says, even if she does, he says, "I will never forget you." Jesus says he will never forget you. He cannot forget you. The palms of the hands are the most delicate part. If you look at your hands, it's the softest part, amen. And the inscription was there, but it's an also part that's protected, amen. The inscribed image on your palm would bring an intimate awareness. An intimate awareness. Notice here, I want to kill a few myths today. This scripture says, "I've engraved you in the palms of my hands. How many of us have ever, ever looked at that scripture and read palm singular? I've engraved you in the palm of my hand and maybe thought God put you on one side. The scripture says, I have engraved you in the palms of my hands. It's two memories, on this hand and on this hand. I've engraved you in the palms of my hand. Do you hear me this morning, church? On this side and on this side. God is saying, I chose you and I engraved you on this side and on this side. If I turn this way, I will be aware of you. If I turn this way, I will be aware of you. If I look at my left hand, I will be aware of you. If I look at my right hand, guess what? I'm going to be aware of you. And we wonder if Jesus loves us. We question his motives towards us. We question his intention. And God is saying, I've engraved you in the palms of my hands. In the palms, both hands. I ask the next question. Have you ever wondered who did the engraving? I ask many questions, amen? And I want to tell you, no one can write on the hands of God but God himself. But let me take that a bit closer to home. Your works, your prayers, your repentance, your faith, what you do right or what you do wrong cannot engrave on the hands of God. God engraves on God's hands. So what you do, what you don't do, when you do it, when you don't do it, if you do it, if you don't do it, does not change the fact that God has engraved you on his hands. And you do not have the power to erase yourself from God's hands. Amen? Amen? You do not possess the power to take yourself away from God's eye. You do not possess the power to take your name out of his mind. What you do doesn't put God off. Remember, I told you, what you've done wrong doesn't put God off. It doesn't make him turn his face away from you. You see, when he wrote the names of the people on his hands, it was out of the all-powerful love of his heart. He didn't just write it because he had nothing to write. Apostle Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Jesus says he has inscribed you. It does not say your name. So the first myth I'm busting today is that you say you are in the palm of his hand. The Bible says you are in the palms of his hand. And he says, I have inscribed you as a person, not as a name. Yes, maybe your name is there. And that picture was the quickest that we could put a name on a hand, amen? But you are not just engraved in the palm of his hand as a name. It says you are engraved in the palm of his hand. You are engraved on the palm of his hand. That means he cares about every detail of your life. Your weaknesses, your strengths, your destiny, your purpose, your beginning, your end is engraved in the palm of his hand. It's not just a name, it's you. It's you. Young people, you are engraved in the palms of Jesus' hands. You are engraved in the palms of Jesus' hands. Whether you are a Gen Z, a millennial, or I think the beta is coming now, if I have it correctly, you are engraved in the palms of Jesus' hands. He's committed to you and he's thinking and caring about you because he loves you. Amen? Ephesians 3 verse 14 to 19 says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through the Holy Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is for you. Do you know how much Jesus loves you? May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand, to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. You see, church, the enemy can't wait for you to question the love of God, to question your sonship with Jesus Christ. Remember, when you are loved by Jesus, you become target of the devil. When you are precious to Jesus, you become a target of the enemy. Are you precious to Jesus? But you know what? Remember, I started that statement when Jesus was in the belly of Mary, where Spurgeon said, these little hands defeated death. These little hands that were formed went to a cross to die for you. These little hands stood up from the grave. And that same power that is in those hands are in you. Amen? Amen? It's time to have a heart check and think about, what do you think about the love of God? Because sometimes we don't think Jesus loves us. But today I've told you, He's engraved you in the palms of His hands. So every time you see your hand, may you be reminded that you are precious to Him. The second thing I told you today is that the image of you are engraved. Not your name, not just only your name, you are engraved in the palms of His hands. Amen? You are engraved in the palms of His hands. The second part of this scripture that I used is just as profound. And it's amazing how one scripture can just jump to life so quickly. That's why I told you in the beginning, there's layers and layers and layers in the scripture that we did not understand, amen, that God can reveal to us. Isaiah 49 verse 16 says, behold, I've engraved you in the palms of my hands. The second part, your walls are continually before me. Have you ever read that part? Your walls are continually before me. In the context of Isaiah, it's likely referring to the walls of Jerusalem, amen? But for you and for me, it means that God is always mindful of your circumstances. God is always mindful of your circumstances. He's mindful of your hopes. He's mindful of your dreams. He's mindful of your future. He's mindful of your prayers. He knows when you are feeling forgotten. He knows when you are feeling alone, when you are feeling insignificant. And He longs for you to remember that His watchful eye and His caring heart are always with you. Amen. Remember, church, God has never lost a battle. God has never lost a battle. How is He going to get it wrong with you? Amen. Psalm 27 verse 1 to 8 in the Passion Translation, my husband's favorite scripture. Yahweh is my revelation, light, and the source of my salvation. I fear no one. I fear no one. I'll never turn back and run. For you, Yahweh, surround me and protect me. When evil ones come to destroy me, they will be the ones who will turn back. My heart will not fear, even if an army rises to attack. I will not be shaken, even if war is imminent. Yes, the one thing I crave from Yahweh, the one thing I seek above all, I want to live with Him every moment. In His house, beholding the marvelous beauty of Yahweh, filled with awe, delighting in the glory and grace, I want to contemplate in His temple. Amen. We're in His temple today. Amen. In the day of trouble, He will treasure me in His shelter. Are you going to face trouble in 2025? Yeah, sure, we're going to face some trouble. But He will treasure me in His shelter. Under the cover of His tent, He will lift me up upon a rock, out of reach from the enemies who surround me. This is the God you serve, church. This is the God you serve. Triumphant now, I'll bring him my offering of praise. Singing and shouting with ecstatic joy. Yes, I will sing praises to Yahweh. Hear my cry. Maybe this morning you're sitting here and you're saying, hear my cry. Show me mercy and send the help I need. I heard your voice in my heart say, come, seek my face. My inner being responded, Yahweh, I'm seeking your face with all my heart. Amen. I'm seeking your face with all my heart. May our heart's cry be for 2025. God, you've inscribed me on the palm of your hands. I will keep you in the center of my heart. I will keep you in the center of my life. What you've done for me, I can never do. Amen. We can't go inscribe everything about God on our two palms. We're going to be in trouble. We don't have enough space. Amen. But we can keep God in the center of our hearts. We can be aware of him. We're going into the Bible challenge. I said to the band this morning, every sunset says to you, where is your Bible? Amen. This morning I want to say to you, church, every sunset says to you, where is your Bible? Because you need to spend time with your maker to understand his heart. You need to spend time with your maker to read his words. Why do we read the Bible? It washes all the junk out of us that we've picked up in the day. Amen? It's like the water of the word just washes, washes, washes. I promise you, if you leave Instagram and you leave YouTube and you leave Facebook, except if you like our posts, okay? You can just like our posts, okay? That's all you can do on Facebook. If you leave it, I promise you, you will have enough time to read your Bible. Amen? But you have to intentionally plan it before the time. Plan it before the time. In this Bible reading week, 6 weeks to read through the Bible, I promise you, you will never be the same. You will never look the same. Can you imagine this band if we read the whole Bible in 6 weeks' time? Oh my God, I cannot wait. Amen? But make time. If it's half an hour before you wake up, in the middle of the day and at the end of the day, we're going to be posting the chapters to read every day. We are going to be carrying you along. We're going to be rooting for you. And we're going to tell you that it's going to change your life to read your Bible in 6 weeks. Amen? Give it a try. I dare you. Give it a try. Young people, I dare you. Read the Bible in 6 weeks and see what happens in your heart at the end of 6 weeks. You will never ever look back. You will never doubt who you are. And you will never ever think that God doesn't love you if you take the time to read what he says about you. You see, your interests are continually before him. He's intimately aware of what's going on in your life. Being engraved in the palms of the hands of is the most secure place because his hands are laced with love. It's the safest hands you can be in. When he looks at those hands, there's a nail scar through them. When we look at the hands of Jesus and we see our image on his hands with a nail scar, we get reminded that we need to look at these hands through the cross. We need to look at ourselves through the cross. When we look at the hands of Jesus, we have to look through the scar onto our image. Look through the scar, look through the cross, look through the finished work, look through what he did for you, look through what he promises for you, look through what he says about you to yourself. Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't look at yourself without the cross. Look at yourself through the cross and what Jesus Christ has done for you. Being in the hands of Jesus means that you are held securely by the grip of God's grace. The grip of God's grace, church. Romans 8 verse 27 says, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance to the will of God. And we know that all things, every single thing that will happen to you young people this week, this month, this year, 2025, will work to the good of those who love him and who've been called according to his purpose. Do you love Jesus this morning? Do you love Jesus this morning? Then hold on to him. Take the hand of Jesus. the nail-scarred hands of Jesus and walk into 2025 with boldness, knowing that the creator of the universe is right here by me. He's right here by my side. I don't need to worry. Amen. Proverbs 8 verse 14 says, you will find true success when you find me. You want success in 2025? Find Jesus. Amen. For I have insight into wise plans that I've designed for you. Have you ever read that? Young people, God has insight into wise plans that he's planned for you. I hold in my hands living understanding, courage, and strength. How beautiful is that? How beautiful is that? When Jesus takes your hand, he doesn't let go. He holds it tight. He holds it tight. He doesn't let go. When Jesus keeps you tight, he leads you through your whole life. When Jesus leads you through your life, he brings you safely home. He brings you safely home. Another part of the scripture, Jesus says he stands at the door of your heart and he's knocking. Isn't it a hand? It's knocking. He says, open your heart and cling to the one that loves you most. Are you ready to open your heart this morning and cling to the one that loves you most? The one that loves you most and is most aware of you. He's most aware of you. You see, God dipped his finger into the shed blood of Jesus and he wrote on the hearts of his children, I love you. Siela.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.